Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This season on Southern Charm.
He's that buddy. He's in magazine.
When you're in an unhealthy relationship, you start acting like a little bitch. Are you in love with him?
No. He's got more honey than any honey thing.
The quarantine has just been tough.
Since she tested positive.
Oh, she's positive?
Yes.
For me, it's about the change I want to see in this little southern town of mine.
Catherine, you spent your entire life living in a bubble of white privilege.
Oh my God, what is she doing? She's off the wagon.
It's like a huge statue, and it is of John C. Calhoun, obviously an ancestor of Catherine's. He was a proud enslaver.
Oh my God, I had no idea.
And that is why this statue must come down.
When I first saw the monkey emoji, I was just like, what the hell, Catherine?
Like, in my heart, I know I'm the furthest thing from racist.
Southern Charm Season 7 premieres on Bravo October 29th. You guys, I have so many thoughts about that trailer. So many thoughts. First and foremost, we lost Cameron. There's no Chelsea. And Naomi is nowhere to be seen, which means inexplicably somehow Shep has outlasted them all. He's been on television for 7 seasons and a spinoff. How is this happening? You know what this means is that there were executives in a conference room somewhere who thought that Shep should be on television for 7 whole seasons plus a spinoff. How is this happening in America in this day? What is going on? I do not support that. And I know some of you might be Shep fans out there. And if you are, I encourage you to tune into another podcast because this ain't it. I can't believe that Shep is on television again. A fucking again. And Austin too. And the thing that shocks me most about this is that a couple seasons ago on Southern Charm, which I've really enjoyed Southern Charm, I'll be honest, throughout the seasons, I've really loved it. We've recapped it on here for, I think, 3 seasons now. But we've had, 2 years ago, we had this very, what I thought to be a very radical season where the women were taking down the patriarchy and really tearing down the good old boy system of the South. Do you remember that season where it was the women were really teaming up to show us something that was, I thought, really revolutionary in certain ways? And now we lost all of those women. Somehow Bravo decided, let's get rid of the women and keep Shep and Austin. And you guys know I love my Craigie. Pillow King of the South. But I still can't imagine that somehow Shep, in some world, Shep has outlasted, outwit, and outplayed Cameron, who was made for television. Of course, she started on The Real World, and I miss her. I'm sorry, I miss her. Even though last season I might have been calling for them to get rid of her, but certainly not before Shep. Certainly not before Austin. I don't understand, and I do know that Cameron, I think, decided to leave on her own. She had implied or maybe even said outright that there were just things she was not willing to concede and people wanted to, I don't know, go in on her relationship. But I think there was some more stuff there. Something happened because when I interviewed Cameron at BravoCon last November, she was all set to return. So I don't know what happened there. I feel like she was bamboozled. She was bamboozled. I do know she released a statement or something implying that they wanted to talk about her relationship or they were going to come after her husband or something like that. But you know what? Then the producers and everyone should have turned it around, turned that ship around and said, we're not going to do it. And they should have gotten rid of Shep. I mean, come on, what is going on? I'm okay with Chelsea going. What did she really offer except for that Rainforest Cafe that she lived in? You remember she redid the house? She did her she redid that house last season and it looked like a Rainforest Cafe. But so I'm not going to necessarily miss Chelsea. But it just is shocking to me that they decided to get rid of all of the women and then keep the men. And I know they brought in new women, which I'm excited about. But this trailer, you guys, they framed it all around the song, which I love that song. But it was sort of funny to me that they were talking about these very serious issues. And every time they would get to a really serious issue in the trailer, we would hear the Bapadoos. You know, so it was like Shep was saying, you know, so-and-so tested positive for COVID. And then it'd be like, Bapadoo. And then it was like one of the new cast members confronting Catherine and saying, Catherine, you've had white privilege your whole life. And then the song would come in, it's easy as the birds and the bees and the one, two, threes. Then at the end was the most shocking of them all. They were showing us footage of the John C. Calhoun statue being dismantled. A very both serious, intense thing that was happening in front of our eyes. And then all of a sudden it comes in, mm-hmm. And they ended with a mm-hmm. So stupid. They're showing us these really serious things. He's got money. He's in magazines. I love that song, and I'm glad they brought it back. And I hope Bravo's listening and they bring it back, the full theme song. Every episode, I want to see that theme song. I want the full thing. I need the one, two, threes, and the Bapadoos. So in this trailer, we see them going to an escape room, you guys. An escape room. We were just talking about this on the last week's recap. I can't possibly see another escape room. It wasn't an escape room. I'm sorry. It was one of those things. They go in the room and they break shit. I've seen it enough. Let me see something new. Okay. I'm sorry, Bravo. I know that it's tough to find things for these people to do, but you got to get creative. Okay. Make a journal as you're going about your days. You should carry one of those notebooks with you. Those Moleskine or Moleskine. I don't know how you pronounce that. Carry one in your pocket. And when you go do something, write down what you do. And then use that for the shows. Because you need to get more creative. I can't see another escape room, a break room, goat yoga. I don't want to see the axe throwing. You've done it too much. And now you're showing in the trailer. And that leads me to believe that this is going to be a shitty season, even if it's not. Okay, you're tricking me into thinking that this season's going to blow. Because we've seen this break room one too many times. So we also have a lot of Austin and Madison stuff. Madison, Madison, Madison. Remember when Madison walked in on the threesome? And Austin, too. I know I was just really hard on Shep at the beginning of this podcast, but I'd like to be hard on Austin, too, because I've had enough of that extra large Muppet on my TV screen after he just totally hooked up with those two other women and Madison had to walk in to see it. And it was on film. We saw it. We saw the footage 100 times last season of Austin waking up and seeing Madison and saying, Madison, Madison, in those big-ass boxer shorts. And look, I'm sorry. Maybe Austin is a nice guy. I don't think he's maybe as bad as Shep, but I just don't care for them. And I just would like to see more women on the show. I don't need to see these men. I turn on Bravo for the women. I'm sorry I do. So really, any of the men on these shows, uninterested. Okay? Unless they're gorgeous. At least Craigie. Craigie seems like a nice, genuine human. He makes the pillows. Pillow King of the South. And he seems nice, and he's gorgeous, right? He's good to look at. Aside from just being a nice human being seemingly on the television set, he's also some eye candy. What are Austin and Shep giving us at this point? What is it? Are they giving us any eye candy? I don't think so. Are they giving us good storyline? What has Shep's storyline been for the past 7 seasons plus a spinoff? The fact that he doesn't want to grow up and get a job, that's been his storyline, quite frankly. And I used to enjoy the scenes that he would do with Cameron, but now that we don't get Cameron, what am I going to do? We see the one scene of him with Danny. Danny just, I hope she's getting paid a top dollar to come in here because she's seemingly, I know she doesn't want to be a main cast member, but she is tying this whole thing together and she's really working hard for that friend of money. But we see this scene with Shep and Danny, they're talking between a screen door and I'm like, this is no Shep and Cameron scene. At least Cameron would give it to him and she would try to tell him, you need to grow up, you need to do this, you need to do that. Catherine, meanwhile, she's off the wagon again. I don't know if that's the right term for it, off the wagon, but she has seen drinking again. And she says, oh, everyone's going to see me drinking, whatever. And it is interesting to me that they're confronting Catherine, the new cast members saying, you got the white privilege. And then they're confronting her about this thing that happened in social media. Maybe some of you aren't aware, but Catherine was caught. I don't know if she was texting or commenting or DMing. With these monkey emojis, and there was this, you have to look it up. I don't even want to exactly say what it was because I don't remember exactly. You know, some of this stuff happens and you forget it, right? Goes in one ear, out the other. You know, I got a lot in my head. I remember some of it. I can remember Bethany Frankel on roller skates in a Halloween episode of Real Housewives of New York season 3. But I can't remember this thing that happened just a couple months ago. So look it up. And there was also this weird moment between Danny and Catherine where Danny said, they were fighting and Danny said, is there something in your eye? And Catherine's like, I have fake eyelashes. And I didn't really understand that. Were they implying drug use? That's what it felt like. But then I thought, like, what drug do you inhale in your eye? Do you put drugs in your eye? Is that something that happened? I'm naive and stupid, but is there some new drug the kids are doing where you put it in your eye socket? I'm not sure. Unclear. Only thing I put in my eye are those red eye drops. What do they call them? The Jennifer Aniston dry eyes. You know, Jennifer Aniston's dry as a bone. She's. Have you noticed this? Everything that Jennifer Aniston promotes, it's for dryness. She promotes the dry eyes. She promotes the water brand. She promotes the Aveeno lotion. She's dry as a bone, that woman. She's dry as the wishbone on Thanksgiving Day. Or the next day after Thanksgiving, you know when you do the wishbone? Did you guys do that when your mom? My mom, Linda Pellegrino, she'd always save the wishbone, and we'd fight over it, my two brothers and I. And then the next day when that wishbone is dried out, you'd pull it, and then if you had more of the wishbone, you'd make a wish. Kind of weird when you think about it that you're wishing over an animal carcass, but that's neither here nor there. The point is, Jennifer Aniston is dry as a bone, and I hope all these products are helping her get wet or moist. I'm sorry to say the word moist. Anyway, what else is happening in this thing? Thomas allegedly got a girl pregnant, which I'd sort of like if we just stopped talking about Thomas in general. I know here I am talking about it on this podcast, but they showed it on the screen, and I sort of wish we just did away with him. I don't need even updates about him. I'm good. I don't care for the man, and I just like to not even have his name said in this show, because then I feel like it almost gives him that ammunition where he can go and he could be like, oh, the show's always talking about me. And I hate when Bravo celebrities do that. They do it on all the shows. When they leave the show, they get fired or whatever. And then they're mentioned on the show. And then those people who are fired get to go on social media and be like, they're always talking about me. And it's like, they're barely talking about you. Calm down. But so I'd like if they just did away with that in general. Apparently he got someone pregnant, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Ba-ba-doo. Then Patricia and Michael, who I'd like to see more of. We see them disinfecting the boxes as they enter the house. And I could have done with way more Patricia in this trailer. Way more of her. Way less Austin. Way less Shep. And way more Patricia. I don't know who is making these decisions. Who's behind the editing bay? Is Whitney still executive producing this? Is he in the editing bay? Let's get him some notes for next time. You know, next time, more Patricia. That's who we want to see. More of the women. Less of anything having to do with Shep and Austin. I'm sorry. And Catherine, I'm sort of ready for Catherine. She's had a great arc on this show. We've seen her do all sorts of stuff, but I don't know that I need to see any more. We've seen it all. We've seen it all. Anything else I'm missing? I said the no room. We don't want that. I did like when Madison called Austin a fucking beta bitch. I did like that. I like Madison. I like Madison. I like her, and I like that she's yelling at Austin. I think that's why I like her so much, and I hope she gets rid of him. We see that she's dating someone new, one of the new cast members in this, apparently, and I like that. If that makes Austin mad, I'm really here for it, and I'm excited about that, but I hope that Madison doesn't go back to Austin. And I know some people say, people have told me, DM me, I've seen it online, people say, oh, Madison just used Austin to get on the show, and to that I say bravo to you, Madison. If that's what you got to do, let's use him. Because if Bravo's going to keep these men on this show for 7 seasons plus a spinoff, then I hope some women are using them to get on this show and then hopefully get them kicked off or to drag them on this show. If that's what's going to happen, if Madison was using Austin to get on this show, at least now she's dragging him on camera. And bravo to that. Because they're going to keep him around. 7 seasons. A fucking again. Shep is back. 7 seasons and a spinoff. I'm sorry to harp on that, but how did we get here? I often wake up in this 2020 America, and I say, how did we get here? And certainly I said that after I saw the Southern Charm season 7 trailer, because I don't know. I don't know who's making all these decisions. I love Bravo. They've given us so much. But sometimes I'm looking at things and I'm saying, why did you make that casting decision? I've been saying that about Orange County. I'm looking at the Orange County cast thinking, what? Doing a little Tim Allen. Home Improvement, how did we get here? Huh? You chose that person to add the cast, or you? I do like the additions on Southern Charm, though. They look like they're going to be good. And we've seen one of them before. I think was friends with Cameron, and that makes me even more upset that we're not getting Cameron. I don't know. I'm going to miss her. And again, by the way, I'd just like to remind you all that I believe last season's recaps, I was calling for the firing of Cameron. You know, it is what it is. But now that I'm seeing she's gone, I'm upset about it. I'm upset. I want her back. I don't need Chelsea back. I miss Naomi, though. I liked Naomi, too. And her store, La Bea. Remember that store she had? Although I didn't like that guy that she was dating. Remember the way he talked to her? I didn't care for that. Maybe that's why she's gone. She's going with the guy. But I didn't care for the way he spoke to her. And she was running that clothing business. La Bea. La Bea. Okay, you guys, we got to talk about Potomac. By the way, I think I'm going to cover Southern Charm. We'll see. I know I've been sort of vague about what we're going to be recapping on Everything Iconic, because truth is, I'm unsure. I know I'm going to be doing Salt Lake City, but Orange County's coming up. We have Southern Charm, and I'm not, like, really looking forward to watching him, but I'm also thinking maybe it'd be fun to drag him a little bit. Do you know what I'm saying? I know I try to keep things positive on here, but we might just have to drag him, like, maybe a little tiny bit. You know, maybe that'll be fun. We'll see. Also, I might just decide I'm not going to do it. I might decide I'm not going to do it. We'll see. We're running by the seat of our pants here on Everything Iconic. But you know what? We have a great show ahead for Everything Iconic. We have Raven Chapman, who many of you might know from the internet. She has a wonderful Instagram account, one of my favorite Bravo accounts. It's at Mainly Bravo, MAINLY, Bravo. And she has a podcast that she hosts, Bitches Better, which you guys should go subscribe. She recaps Bravo, all that stuff. She's great. So she's going to be joining me for this Potomac episode, which you guys, this Potomac episode, come on! Come on! This was an episode, you guys. This was a shocking, thrilling, wonderful episode. Although I was a little upset after that big fight that everyone seemed to just go their separate ways. I would have liked more group dynamics after that whole big fight. But Raven and I are going to talk about all that. I'm going to bring her out in just a second. Again, follow her. Follow me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to check out the YouTube channel, it's youtube.com/DannyPellegrino1. And I'm posting a lot of the Zoom interviews I do over there. It's youtube.com/DannyPellegrino1. I had some internet issues, so the Raven one is not over there. But the sound is great, but you know, the interview's not over there. Anyway, what else? Please go to the Everything Iconic store, everythingiconic.store. You get t-shirts, all that stuff. And if you want to support this podcast, go to the Patreon page, patreon.com/everythingiconic. And if you go there, it's a site where you can donate $4 more per month. The money helps to support this podcast. And I do one bonus episode a month, so I'm doing Sex and the City. I'm recapping that from the beginning. So there's 3 episodes out of that now, and there'll be a new one coming soon in October. So more importantly, the money's just to support the show. So thank you to everyone who's over there. And with all that said, let's bring out Raven. Let's break down this episode of Potomac, you guys. Let's break it down. I've had a lot of coffee. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Are you in love with Ray?
I'm in love with Ray.
How do you know you're in love with Ray?
Because I can't imagine a day without Ray.
I don't think of days without you either. I mean,
no.
I don't try to imagine.
I'm going
to
ask you that same question. Yeah. Are you in love with Karen?
I think I am.
Hello, everyone. My guest today for the Potomac recap, you guys might know her from at Mainly Bravo on Instagram, her podcast, Raven. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm so excited. I've been such a fan of your account for so long. And so
stop.
It's so great. I'm excited to just get a chat with you.
I'm so excited too. I love you. I've been a huge fan. So this is a treat. And especially this episode. Oh my God.
I was just going to say, like, of all weeks, we have a lot going on. What did you make of this episode? I mean, it was the first 5 minutes was thrilling television.
Yeah, my blood pressure was up. I can't believe it. Honestly, I was so surprised that they actually showed us the fight, because you know how they like to do like a flashing screen and then it like goes to black and you just hear like screaming and stuff. But I was like, oh, they're showing it. Wow. Okay.
I couldn't believe like they had the close up of Monique's hand on Candace for a long period of time. And I, like you, and I think a lot of people on social media and stuff were anticipating that they would be doing the cuts and not showing us much of the fight. And I was shocked they showed it all, or they showed as much as I guess they could have.
Yeah, it was wild. And it really was a lot worse than I was expecting it to be.
Right. I know also, I don't know about you, but I kept expecting there to be something else that we didn't know that led to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it seemed like there wasn't a whole lot. It escalated just so quickly. And I don't know that there was like one specific thing either one of them said that made it jump off like that.
No, the whole thing was completely uncalled for, if you ask me. And it, like you said, it escalated so quickly. I don't even know what they were arguing about. They really weren't towards the end of it. They were like, I'm asleep, you're boring, blah, 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 da, da, da. And it's like, okay. And then she's pulling her hair like, what? What did I miss something? Like, I'm so confused.
We're recording this on Zoom. And when you were just doing that, it reminded me of when I was watching you do that, it reminded me of Marlo and Sheree's fight. Do you remember when they're like, no one could even understand what they were saying.
It's the same thing, to be honest, because I was like, y'all aren't even saying anything right now. You're just yelling.
Just throwing out.
Spinning around in circles and stuff. Like, okay, all right.
The hair tussle, though, like, I would have been annoyed. Monique was, like, tussling the hair. Like, I would have been annoyed. I don't even have long hair or anything. But it was just the little tussle, I felt like, was just would have annoyed me.
Well, that was a bit much. And what she was saying, that Candace had her hands in her face, but, like, I didn't see that. Did you? I don't know. I was like, it's a split screen. I can't tell. But then I was like, I don't see her hand in her face. I'm trying to like still be on Monique's side a little bit, but she's making it really difficult.
Really difficult. No, really I felt the same way. And there was a lot of confusing stuff about it because I didn't even understand the wine glass and how I didn't get how everything had like broken on the floor, because to me, they did seem like they were in each other's faces, but I didn't notice like the table sort of shaking things off of it, or I didn't notice any sort of wine glass.
So I tried to rewind to see the wine glass thing.
I love you. I love that you rewind.
What I think happened was that Monique grabbed Candace's hair and then her head was down and Candace was probably just, you know, tossing and throwing shit whenever she could. And maybe that's how Monique got hit. But I think the table moving and everything was when everyone else got involved. Like, stop it. Let her go.
That close up, which we've seen this close up in like the trailers and stuff, but the close up of Ashley's face where she was just wide eyed, like Ramona Singer. so good.
She picked a terrible time to go to the bathroom. Like, why would you do that in the middle of a fight? She's probably like, oh, they do this shit all the time. I'm going to go to the bathroom now.
I also loved later in the episode when she was like, well, no one's talking about my marriage anymore.
I had to laugh at that as well. Like, it's true.
Guess the pressure's off me. Okay, so who are you? Are you on Candace's side after seeing it all play out?
Oh, God. I hate to say that I'm on her side.
I know.
I'm not on Monique's side, and that also hurts me to say. I guess you don't have to say.
You could be in the middle. We're in the middle.
Okay, I think I'm in the middle where they both were definitely egging each other on and just being horrible. But from what I saw, Monique was more horrible because she took it to another level where it didn't have to go. Right. What do you think?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I'm not a huge Candace fan,
And but in this situation, like, it didn't seem like Candace was, you know, when I think of other fights, like physical fights on Housewives or in the Bravo world, usually I do feel like somebody is kind of almost asking for it. Like with Portia and Kenya, I don't know, that comes to mind. Ooh, yeah. It's like I thought Kenya really was antagonizing Portia much more than, say, Candace was antagonizing Monique. So
absolutely, yeah.
It's hard to really say that that Candace like antagonized Monique in any way. I do think Monique was just at fault there, and she did seem to snap. And I do think it wasn't about what it was about. I think there was other things that Monique is upset about, maybe not even having to do with Candace. Of course, Giselle and some of the other women have been alluding to the situation with Chris and the trainer. And so I think there was just like something snapped with Monique. And by the way, I think all of us at times we have that sort of snapping moment where it's like,
oh yes,
you're not even snapping about like what's in front of you. It's just like
the something. Last straw.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because do you remember, it was maybe a couple of episodes ago, Monique said, whatever was happening, Chris did something to piss her off. And she was like, I'm just going to put that in the Chris box and put it up next to the Candace box. But eventually one of the boxes is going to fall. And I think, unfortunately, it was the Candace box.
I know, it fell with Candace.
Got it. Yeah.
What did you make of James, the producer, coming in? So, you know, they broke up the fight, but first of all, it seemed like they needed a lot of people to break this up. Like, Monique was not letting go.
No.
And so they all had to rush in. They finally got Monique separated, and James, who we've seen before, by the way, James is like a really old friend of mine, like before.
Really?
Yeah, like before Housewives and all of that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, I knew him when we were both new in LA. And so it's weird to see him, because this is, I think, the second or third time he's been on the show.
I loved that.
it's weird to see him. I'm like, James, I don't know. But yeah, he had to like sort of separate her. And then Monique, she was trying to get back into the barn and then eventually just like sidestepped James and went around the barn.
Bless him, because I don't know, you know, it's already hard enough to like break up a fight and you're trying to like calm somebody down. And then she's like trying to escape. And he's like, no, no. Oh God, you're bleeding. Let me get the emergency kit. And then she hears Candace talking her shit through the door and she just gets all riled up again. And then she just goes. And I was like, you know what? I don't think that I would chase after her either. I'd be like, someone else will intercept her like down at the bottom of the stairs. I've done what I could.
And after a long like night or day of shooting, it's like they've already shot. They're all probably exhausted anyway. And this seemed to be at the end of the shooting. And then it's like, oh my God, I would just be exhausted. And I'm always thinking about the other women, what's going through the other women's minds, because there was one point, I don't remember who it was, if it was Karen or Giselle, somebody was like trying to open the door to talk to Monique. And then Wendy had like gone out to see Candace. And I'm always imagining the women in their head thinking like, what's the best way for me to get on camera at this moment? Like, how do I steal focus? And then they're all sort of rushing around to try to go. They're like, do I go talk to Monique? Will they pick me up there?
Yeah. And it's like, honestly, Monique's probably your best bet for sure. So like, is that Monique running? Let me run after her. Yeah. Oh my God.
It was a lot. It was thrilling, but it was, you know, how do you feel about seeing like physical stuff on these shows?
I'm going to sound like a hypocrite, but that's fine. It happens sometimes. This was just, it was really a lot. It was almost too much. Like, I don't like that level. Can I say what level of maybe like a wine glass, not a wine glass, just wine throwing, like a throwing of a drink. The hair pull, like Marge in New Jersey. I think that's pretty much as far as I want to see. This, I mean, she like had her hair gripped and was like giving it to her. I was like, oh, that's really, it's like world star level. It's like a bit much. That's like Bad Girls Club. It's just like a different show.
I totally agree. Did you ever watch Mob Wives?
Of course.
I used to love Mob Wives. But yeah, Drita, I know. Oh my God.
Yeah.
But you would turn that on and you'd be like, you knew to expect that. With Housewives, we know to expect maybe a little a hair shift or like a little wine thrown or something.
Exactly.
And yeah, I even felt like the Margaret Danielle thing did almost sort of cross the line with me. Like I thought that was a little too far too, but I mean, the devil on my shoulder is like, yeah, but it was great TV.
I know, it's so hard.
I know. We are hypocrites talking about all of this, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
So then, look, the morning after we see all the women, early that night or later that night, we did see Candace on the way home calling Chris and telling her about it. We see Monique calling her husband. And then the morning after, we see all the women sort of dealing with it. Wendy was upset because she's, of course, a news pundit. How are you liking Wendy this season?
I'm really enjoying her.
Me too.
The 4 degrees thing was like annoying at first, but now I've just learned to laugh at it. But I think she's great. She's doing a great job.
Yeah, I think she's such a great addition to this franchise. Like, I'm loving Wendy. I agree, though. At the beginning, it was a little too much.
Like, okay, you like, this group is not going to be impressed by that. Like, you got to go somewhere else with that. They do not care.
Right. I also follow her on social media, and I'm always so impressed by, like, her activism and everything. I'm like, I just like Wendy.
Breath of fresh air, for sure.
We see Giselle with her daughters, and we got to talk about this. So Jamal bought the girls a restaurant, and it's called Arizona's. What do you think of this?
I mean, I think it was a good idea. I'm into like generational wealth and all of that, but like, I just really have a hard time with him.
Me too.
I feel like he is disgusting and slimy. I don't know who's slimier, him or Michael. I haven't decided yet, but like, I just
really
don't...
Sophie's choice on.
Yeah. I don't want to see his face, his stupid glasses and like, whatever, but I think it was great. Giselle, their kids are great.
Yeah.
Despite all of this other shit. I don't know, but they're kids. I don't think that they're not going to be able to appreciate this just yet, but it's a good thought. But
yeah,
the restaurant closed.
Did it close?
Yeah,
oh, well, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. You know, I don't like I get the impression that Jamal's coming on the show to try to, he wants to look good now. Now he's with Giselle and it just doesn't seem very authentic to me at all. And he hasn't done anything on screen, particularly this season, that's been like so awful. But like, I don't know. I just feel that from him. And I was so happy. Like later in the episode, we saw Giselle's dad sit down. And I was getting sort of angry that her dad was becoming buddy-buddy with Jamal a little bit or seemed to accept him. And then at the very end of the episode, we got sort of the smoking gun where the dad was taking off the mic. And he's like, I'm done filming. What did he say? He said, Jamal has 6 or 7 babies, not baby mamas. It's not a good fit for Giselle. And I don't know. I felt like a sense of relief in a way, because I wanted somebody to say something about Jamal.
Me too. Because at the, you know, when they first met up and she was like, yeah, we're trying to like give it another shot, keep the family together, whatever. And he was like, yeah, I mean, I support it, whatever. And hearing that he like didn't even go to the wedding and stuff. And it's like, well, damn, how did you get here? Like just like that. So at the end I was like, oh, okay, there it is. You don't really mean it. You're just trying to, you know, support your daughter. And it's like, that's good, but happy to know you weren't like brainwashed or anything.
And how pissed do you think, Giselle and the dad were that they showed that moment at the very end?
Yeah, I'm sure they didn't appreciate that. Although I feel like Giselle should not be surprised. Yeah. Don't you think a part of her is maybe like, he's just being nice, you know, because he doesn't want to make me upset or something like all over again. I don't know.
Do you like Giselle? Where do you stand on Giselle?
Do I like her? I don't think I like her, but I appreciate her. Leave it at that. She's necessary for the show. She does her job. But no, I don't think I like her.
I used to really like her, and I just, this season, I don't like her at all. And I don't know, but you're right. She's needed to stir the pot, and she does such a great job of that. But I don't know. I'm like turning on Giselle this season.
You can't put your finger on why?
No. I don't really know. I don't have a reason.
Isn't that
we don't
funny
have a
when
reason.
That happens? I know. It's so funny when that happens. Like, no, she's not doing it for me this time.
Is there a housewife that you just really hate for no reason? Like, just that maybe everyone loves or something where you're like, I just hate them. And it doesn't, you don't even have to have a reason, Raven. Just who do you hate? Not on Potomac either, just all over the place.
Who do I hate?
You're like, oh, I fucking hate her for no reason.
Well, let me tell you, okay, like, please don't come for me. I don't hate her, but I definitely don't like her and I don't understand it. Teresa.
Hey, you know what?
Sorry.
You're living your truth. I get
sorry.
It.
I'm just like, okay. Sorry. I don't understand. Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah. You know, I think it's okay for us to not like certain people. I like Teresa, but I get it. If you don't like her, I totally understand because, I don't know, we change on these people so often and sometimes people just rub us the wrong way.
Yeah, and she hasn't done anything. I can't say why. There's really no reason for it. I'm just like, no, yeah, not for
maybe
me.
maybe overhyped a little bit.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
Yeah, I get that. What about, I know I'm getting off track here. We're going to get back to Potomac, but now I'm just thinking of the other franchises. Have you watched the Orange County trailer?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
A lot of things. I'm thinking, I really cannot with Kelly Dodd.
Yeah.
Which is really upsetting for me. That's probably another part of it. Cause like, I love her so much. Like from the moment she arrived, like no matter all of her shit, I was like, no, I ride for Kelly. And now it's like, okay, I can't really do that anymore. Like you've taken it too far. You've taken it too far. So I'm like mad at her and I don't want to see her, but like, I love Bronwyn and I want to see her. But then it just also doesn't look very good.
Right.
All of that aside.
Because do we want to relive it? Like, I don't want to relive all that stuff. And and I stopped, I tried to stop following a lot of housewives and Bravo celebrities online. Cause it's like, not only do I not want to see that side of things, but also I don't want to see the storylines ruined. Cause I feel like for a while there, we've been seeing just things that were playing out on Instagram or whatever. And then when it came on the show, I was like, oh, I already know everything that happened.
Right. Not interested.
Yeah. And so with Orange County though, I feel like some of that was inescapable. Like we know we're getting the COVID stuff. We know the Shannon Bedore because that was all over the press. And even if you were trying to stay away from it, I feel like you got some of it. And so,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm not super excited about Orange County, to be honest. And I heard that before the COVID shutdown, they were having like a really, really great season. But Andy Cohen was on, I think Andy, his serious show or something. And he was saying, you know, you shouldn't go to Kelly Dodd for advice on how to handle the pandemic. But it's like hard if you follow,
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that anyone was going to her for like advice on how to handle it. It was just there in our faces, and we were like,
"Hmm, maybe
this
isn't
that you're doing that." Yeah. Oh my god, Andy, that's funny.
What about Southern Charm trailer? What did you think of that?
Oh, Danny, I've got a lot of
People listening couldn't see the eye roll that you just gave me.
It was a real one, y'all. You know, I'm from Charleston and I live here and there's so much like outside stuff that's like influencing how I feel about it probably. But I was not pleased. I'm not excited to see them coming back. I don't like the way that they've handled things, like especially with Catherine. I feel like it's great that they have Leva on there and then Vanita's in there like a little bit, but you just add people of color and then be like, okay, like we did a good job. Like we took out Catherine and her plantation scenes and whatever. And so like, we're good now. Right. And it's like, no, no, I don't care to see people of color calling them out. It needs to be each other. It just like makes my stomach hurt. I don't know. It just feels like too little too late. I feel like they need to cancel it and like make it something else. It's like always, not those people.
Yeah. A whole new people. I know. I can't believe we're going to look at another season of Shep like on television. So many of them. But also, it's confusing to me. And I know every show has like a different production company. Mm-hmm. So they're sort of run by different people, even though they all air on Bravo. And I guess Bravo is sort of the ultimate boss. But it's always confusing to me, like, where the line is for all these shows. And it's like, so we're dealing with the Catherine race issues on the season, but then something like Vanderpump Rules, we got rid of them, to sort of make the example of like Bravo's not handle or not going to take it or whatever. And so that's just, to me, just ultimately confusing because there is no line then. We're just sort of going by the seat of our pants and deciding who we want to make an example of, who we don't. That's confusing to me.
It's very confusing. And that's the thing. It's like, what are we doing here? I don't understand. I feel like it needs to be the same with everyone. Right. I don't know. And they never addressed it either. It just, I didn't like it. Oh. Right.
Something a little lighter. Let's talk about Karen at her house with Ray for his birthday when she had the chef over. And this is where Karen introduced to Ray that maybe they need not a therapist, but a life coach. And look, I'm rooting for Ray and Karen because Karen's my number one and I just want them to be happy.
Yes.
But it seems like they're just growing more and more apart.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. And we see this happen on Housewives all the time, right? It's like these women get on here and then they have like some business or something going for them that they weren't doing before. And then they don't have as much time for the husband. And the husband is like, hello, remember me? Like,
right.
I need some attention. And it's like, well, too fucking bad. You know, I'm doing this now.
Yeah.
So you just have to adjust. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. And Ray is like, no, I'm not going to figure it out. You need to go back to how you were before.
I know. I sort of imagine, though, that Ray would have been happy that Karen has this business, not just because she's, you know, going to be earning her own money and independent and all that stuff, but I sort of thought Ray would have just been the type of guy who would have been like, oh, good, this gives me more chance to, like, watch my shows at night and, like, relax alone.
Yeah.
Because he's at a certain age where I think of myself, when I'm that age, yeah, if my husband wants to go do whatever the fuck he wants, go for it. I'm going to go watch my programs.
In silence. And it's going to be great.
Hey, we don't have to argue over the remote. Like, it'll be great. I don't know. He just doesn't seem happy. Also, because I think at that age, like, if you were to leave this person, is Ray the type who really wants to, like, start dating again or, like, find someone new? That seems exhausting to me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm not sure. I can't put my finger on Ray. Would he, like, go and try and get, like, a young woman? I don't know about him.
I can't imagine.
He's a mystery.
He's totally a mystery. I really loved how they hired that radio host to come do therapy for them.
Radio host.
That was shocking to me, Raven. Did you see on the lower thirds when she was talking to them? It said radio host. Like,
oh, I didn't.
It didn't even say life coach. It said radio host.
That's so funny because I was like, wow, her voice is very soothing. No, I didn't notice that. Well, that tracks.
They said apparently her name was Angela and she hosts a show called like Pillow Talker. But she was honestly a radio host. It's like if I was inviting Delilah from the radio to like give my boyfriend and I advice on our relationship, like it's truly fucking crazy.
She's like, okay, he doesn't want a therapist. He's not feeling that. He's not feeling the life coach. I know. You get a radio host that talks about relationships. You'll be okay with that.
Like, let's hire anyone to come over.
Okay.
And tell us. It's truly crazy, but it made me laugh so much. And then I felt bad for Karen because she went, we had another hot mic moment where Karen, she walked away from the scene. We see her in the bedroom taking off the mic. And she said she couldn't breathe. She was like sad. And I felt so bad for her. And that was another moment. Probably Karen was watching this and thinking that would never air. And then here it is on TV.
Yeah, that was really sad. Because I mean, he said he can't say that he's in love with her. And I thought that he was being an asshole, like at the beginning of the season where he like wouldn't say, I love you. He was like, okay, okay, okay. And, but damn, like that's how you feel. I wouldn't be able to breathe either. That's horrible.
I know. It made me sad. Do you think they'll make it? I know we're not ones to judge, but...
No.
Sort of we are.
I really hope so, just for Karen's sake. As long as that's what she wants, then yes, I hope that they make it.
You too.
But I don't know. I need for him to do some more. He's not showing me enough right now.
I know. I just want to give him like a pixie stick or something, like some sugar, because he seems like he just needs to wake up a little bit. Right, like get Ray a Cuban coffee because he just seems a little sleepy sometimes. And
yeah,
you know, I get it. But on camera, I need him to perk up a little bit. Just
agreed.
Give him a espresso shot, whatever you need to do. Okay, one more couple relationship we need to talk about, and that's Ashley and Michael. I hate him.
Ooh. I hate him. Me too.
He's just the worst. Ashley revealed that we didn't see this at the barn event, but Ashley said there that she was 60% in and 40% out of the relationship with Michael, and she was ready to hightail it out of the apartment.
Mm-hmm. Which is like, go with the 60 right now. Just do it right now. Right.
But like, I'm still sort of confused about this relationship. Like, I know she asked him then for a post-snap. Is that what it was called? A post-snap?
Yeah.
And I can't understand if she just is she's going to get the money and the babies and then go, or if she genuinely wants to be in the relationship. Because at this point, she just does seem checked out. But then we know they stay together and she's pregnant again.
Yeah. So I'm like, does that have something to do with like, they did end up doing the post-snap and she's got some good stuff in there that's like really going to get her. Cause she's like, we're going to do it because if you cheat or do something silly like this again, like I'm out of here. But that means there's not going to be any arguing. I'm going to get this, I'm going to get this, this, and that's going to be a done deal. So it's like, I want to see that thing. Right, I feel like if she's gotten pregnant again by him, he had to have agreed to that, and it has to be a really sweet deal because she knows he's going to do it again. We all do. He's going to embarrass her again. So it's got to be for that reason.
I know. It's not like he just did it once. No, I don't think she likes him at all. And I don't even think he likes her at all, because when she was bringing up the post-snap thing, like his face was saying yes, but you could tell he was like stewing inside. Mm-hmm. And I was happy about that because I fucking hate him, but I don't think they like each other at all.
No, it's so strange. They have some sort of weird agreement going on there. I don't know what it is exactly.
And they're only giving us like tiny little bits of the actual information. Like I feel like, we invited a person into our relationship once or something. It's like, this is all bullshit. There's other things that you guys are just not telling us, but you know you can't be on the show if you don't give us a little something.
Right. So they're like, let's just make up this thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe they did do that. I don't know. But they're like, let's just tell them this so we don't have to tell them about the other thing. Remember that?
Like, yeah, like we'll tell them this little bit so they'll believe us and they're all covering. Yeah, I don't buy any of it. I'm also very confused about the prenup. I know they talked about this in like last season or the season before, but there's something about the prenup is expired after 5 years.
But it was weird because when they showed the clip, she was just now signing something and it said 2018. So I'm like, okay, so this is just post-dated, like whenever they got married. Not from the date that you sign it. Cause she's like, oh, the 5 years is up. And I'm like, well, that was 2 years ago. Like, right.
Doing the math.
I'm not so good at math, but like that wasn't 5 years. Like I'm confused.
Right. We're no mathematicians here, but
Absolutely not.
It was confusing. And what I'm trying to think of what year they probably filmed this season. Was this filmed in 2018? Because I know they had held on to the season for a while, but I don't know if it was 2018. I don't know.
Ooh, true. I don't know.
Raven, one last thing I want to mention, and then I'll go to you if you have anything else. But Chris was wearing, Candace's Chris, he was wearing that Knives Out sweater in one of the scenes. You remember that Chris Evans, like,
yes.
So maybe actually that tells us when they filmed it. I don't know if Chris was ahead of the ball game, but I was thinking in my head, like, that must have been when Knives Out came, because every guy, at least I certainly was this way, like searching online for that sweater.
Uh-huh.
And so maybe that's when they filmed it. Maybe there's my answer, but he was wearing it.
Yeah, let's go with that. I like that journey for him.
Raven, do you have anything else you want to mention about the episode? Any other final thoughts here?
So I think the only other thing was when Monique was talking to her, Chris, about everything, that he was like, you know, this is just really embarrassing. And she was like, embarrassing for who? And he was like, I mean, it's just embarrassing, period. And I was like, tell her it's embarrassing for her. That's what you're trying to say. Just let her know. So I'm like, did he tell her that later whenever she got home? I feel like he did.
Their scenes make me very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Lately it has been that way. And I've been like really loved them. And now I'm just feeling so weird. I'm feeling so weird. And then the next day he's like, yeah, it's just really disappointing. Like he's trying to do it again. She was like, yeah, well, I don't give a shit. So
yeah, she didn't care. Monique didn't care. And I wonder if they'll keep her around or how they'll handle this, like sort of externally from the cast, you know, like will, first of all, we're not even sure if the cast is interested in filming. In terms of like the previews for next week, it seems like the cast is uninterested in filming with her after this at a certain point. And then also, will this be something that like Bravo decides is crossing that imaginary line that they keep moving?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. It's it's really unfortunate.
Now, Raven, you host a podcast. Have you put in $200,000 into your podcast?
No, getting close though.
What was that, Raven? What was that?
I don't know. What did she spend that on?
It was the most shocking thing I've ever heard on this show.
How?
I don't know. I mean, I know she did get office space and I imagine that costs some money, but there's nothing that should cost $200,000. And I mentioned this last week, but I feel like that co-host is bamboozling her in some way because the co-host was like, no one should know how much we're spending or don't tell Chris what we're spending. And I was like, girl, are you the one stealing these funds?
Oh my God. She totally is.
I feel like
she's on American Greed. Oh, I can't wait to see it.
That's true.
That's exactly what she's doing.
It's crazy. It was $200,000. There's nothing that costs that much in terms of podcasting. anyway, Raven, tell me about your podcast.
Okay, so my podcast is called Bitches Better, and I host that with my best friend, Gabby, and we do all the reality TV, obviously all Bravo, because Bravo's everything, right? But we're also into the 90 Day Fiancé world, Love After Lockup, which is got to be the trashiest show I've ever seen. I love it. Love it so much.
My boyfriend watches those. And I got into 90 Day for like a moment in time. There were, you know, I got on the Darcy train for a while.
Oh.
And I'll still like check in with Darcy. I still check in with Darcy and Stacey on their spinoff.
I haven't watched it yet.
It's shocking.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. And I'm just like, ooh, I don't know. That might be too much Darcy for me.
Yeah, I mean, when I say check in, I mean, like, if my boyfriend's watching it, I'll, like, pop in the room and I'll laugh at Darcy for literally 3 minutes. And then I'm like, that's enough. But there was one scene where she was in a bathtub with a phone and she couldn't work it because of, like, she was trying to sexy FaceTime the guy and it was, like, not working. And it was so funny.
See it now. Mm-hmm.
But, like, a whole hour. I think it's an hour show. I'm like, do people need a whole hour with these two? It's a lot.
No, it was just the perfect amount. It was almost too much whenever she was on 90 Day Fiancé, to be honest with you. So like a whole thing is like, no, I think I'm going to pass on that. Have you watched Love After Lockup at all?
No, but he loves that too, though. Like, but we have total opposite tastes. Like, he doesn't watch the Bravo stuff. Although he watched this week's Potomac with me. Like, he watched it together and he really liked it. But he doesn't normally watch the Bravo stuff. But he loves the TLC stuff.
TLC.
Is that TLC? That's TLC, right?
Yeah. It's another world over there. I just saw some show this woman has 14 kids. It's insane. I was like, okay, I can't watch that.
Yeah. I got into a YouTube wormhole recently about like, did you ever watch the John and Kate Plus 8?
Sure did.
I like loved it. Yeah, I like loved it. And somehow I started watching YouTube clips and then it was like an hour of my life had gone by. I was like searching for what are they up to now? And like it was so weird. I saw some interview John gave like very recently during the pandemic about his life, but then the whole point of him doing this interview was to say that he's done doing interviews. And I'm like, then why are you doing an interview? Like, just go away. I don't know. You know,
strange people, I tell you.
Do you ever get tired of watching the Bravo shows? Because you cover them on the show. Like, do you ever think while you're watching, I don't want to have to talk about this today?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, now let me just start by saying I love New York. But this last part three of the reunion, I was like, okay, I've had enough. And then like Beverly Hills, I definitely was feeling that way. for a lot of that season. But I was like, no, I'm going to this is my work. Right, so I'm just going to power through it. Like, no, it's not, girl. What's wrong with you?
Taking notes.
I can't help myself. Yeah.
Do you take notes during it or do you just watch and kind of go?
So it's weird. I started, like, I used to do a lot of live tweeting, and then that got to be to where I was like, eh, if I'm not watching it live, I'm not going to tweet later, so I'm not going
to
do that.
Okay, but wait, do you feel like Twitter, it's not as fun to tweet about these shows anymore?
No, it's a dark place. That's why I've pretty much stopped.
Me too.
I mean, yeah. I might go over there and say like a thing or two if I feel like I really have to get it out and I can't wait. But I'm like, oh, it's absolutely, it's not as fun anymore. It's so dark.
And I feel like there was a shift. I don't know if it was like a year or two. I don't know when it happened or something, but I'm like, I don't, particularly with Beverly Hills, but all of them really, it's like, it used to be so fun to go on Twitter and just live tweet it. And you could say things like throughout the episode, even you'd be like, oh, I love what Rinna just did, or I love what Denise just did. And you could change so quickly and everyone was feeling that way. Now, no matter what you say, it's like so picked apart and you get like these very angry and aggressive fans from every side.
Yeah.
And you can't say anything and it's like sucked all the fun out of all of it. I hate it.
Exactly. So I'm like, I'm just not going to do that because this is ridiculous.
Like, it's like not even fun. It's like, why would I even want to tweet it now? Because everyone's just yelling at me.
Right, because it's like, that's why you do it. It's like, I wanted to talk to other people about it and like have a fun time, and I'm not having fun anymore, so I'm not going to do it anymore. Yeah. So now I do kind of take notes more, but before those were kind of my notes, right. To be honest. So it didn't feel like I was like, okay, let me pause it. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Raven, this was so much fun. I'm so glad we got to meet over Zoom.
Me too.
I love following you. Everyone, tell everyone where they can follow you. I know you're not live tweeting anymore either, but
no, but they might see something every 2 weeks. No,
and your Instagram is one of the best. It's at I'm promoting you. It's at Mainly Bravo. It's so good. It's so good.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so you can follow me at Mainly Bravo on Instagram and Twitter if you feel like it. We've got an Instagram for the podcast. It's at Bitches Better Podcast. We do polls on there the next day after the shows, so those are fun. Yeah, and then Bitches Better Podcast if you want to listen to us break down some shows and outside of Bravo shows as well.
Yeah, so subscribe on Apple, Spotify, all over the place. Raven,
everywhere.
This was so fun. Thank you for taking the time, and come back anytime.